Welcome to GLHF, everybody. Sorry, sometimes I've been forgetting to say welcome and goodbye. I'll remember that. But we are in Toontown, everybody's favorite
Happy Toontown Day.
Childhood game. Yay!
I'm going to tell you something before you can say anything else.
Sure.
Okay? You texted me and you said, and I quote, okay, are you ready? Do you remember this quote? You said,
yeah.
I always forget how annoying this game is. It's kind of awful. I thought when I first booted this up, this is my first Toontown experience ever.
Yeah.
When I was playing this earlier today, I was, no joke, completely enthralled. I was I was like, dude, I'm really into the vibes of this game and the fact that there's like an incredibly crude turn-based RPG aspect to it, I think is really funny. I think this game would have gone so hard for me if I played it contemporaneously.
Okay.
But even now, just the vibe of like all of the two-dimensional trees and like the backgrounds and stuff, I'm incredibly into it. So I'm definitely a Toontown fan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never going to play it again after this, obviously, because it's horrible. But
yeah,
the vibes for the purpose of the podcast, I'm really enjoying.
It's
so I'm sorry that you're not having the same experience.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear a different perspective. My impression of it now, I remember thinking it was really cool as a kid. I think because this was probably one of the first games I ever played where you were running around with other people online.
Yeah.
So that was a cool thing. There were actually a bunch of people as opposed to now where we are kind of standing in this weird liminal space by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
This
was a Disney thing, right, at one time. It's no longer associated, but it was at one point.
Yes.
Branded,
so,
yeah.
This is the same as Club Penguin, which we played for a different episode, where it's like hosted by fans now somehow. And really incredible that it's been up for several years at this point and not taken down. I think my impression of it now is just the music is really annoying and really loud. It's like from the era of games where all the music was mixed to be as loud as possible in your speakers. Mm-hmm. So it's like everything is the same extremely high volume.
I like that. I just think I like that. I think that's my vibe. Maybe it might have been growing up playing NES where like all you had was the music. And so like all I want to do is hear a really catchy 15-second loop for the entirety of my playtime of any given video game.
The combat, it's interesting that you praise the combat because I never did the combat.
Praise is overstating it, just to be clear.
Oh, I thought you said you loved it, it was genius and revolutionary.
No, I said I loved that it exists. I don't even know if I said that, but the fact that it exists brings me great joy. The quality of it is quite poor, just to be clear.
Yeah.
But I didn't know it was a game. This is a game.
You could say that.
I am.
It's one of these games where there's multiple ways you can play, right? I only ever played the mini games, so if we look around this area, which I won't do right now, there's a train you can get on that takes you to the mini games, and that's how you
earn did the train.
Jelly beans, which is like
the
currency.
Yeah, I got some.
I only ever did that. I never, you're supposed to go out into the streets and be battling these cog guys, and that terrified me to no end. They're all so scary. I feel like at least in the beginning of the game, it's a game for kids. They should give you some like easy enemies, like I don't know, a stray dog or something.
It goes straight into like the big tall businessmen, which is when you're a kid, it's like the scariest thing in the world.
They're very scary, and every time, you can battle them in the streets, and then you go into like the, I don't know what to compare it to, but you go into the big corporate gray buildings and you battle like a bunch of them in a row, and that's like a challenge mode or something. And I think you like gradually like clear out all the areas, so there is like progression and there's a point to it, but I never did that because I was just so terrified by how they look. They're so scary and angry and mean.
It's interesting how there was an era, and it might still be going on, and I'm just not a kid, so I don't see it, but like, I feel like there were a lot of cartoonish, like video games, cartoon movies and things where the story was like, it's a fight between colorful joy and gray
business extremely shit. Common trope, yes.
Yeah, and that's less of a trope now. Nowadays, it's way more like global warming as opposed to finance. Mm. And it's funny that it must have been when the financial system collapsed in 2008, 2009. Maybe we were just like, I don't even want to think about this anymore. And we switched to a different existential threat, which is global warming. But you don't see that as much. Like, I even think of, do you remember that Wii game, Da Blob? Where it's like the whole thing is the world is gray and you play as a blob of paint and you have to jump around and repaint the buildings because the color's getting sucked out. It's like that contrast between colorful whimsy and gray was like just such a huge thing.
There's got to be some like games where with the same exact premise where you're like painting color back into the world.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just interesting. I don't know. I hadn't thought about that as a premise until I opened this up and I was like, yeah, remember when like business guys were seen as the most evil thing in the world? And then now after they did the thing that made it clear that they were, for some reason we stopped cartooning them as the most evil thing in the way. You know what I mean?
I think we should bring it back.
We totally should.
I think businessmen now is the time. Are probably
those
the most evil thing in the world.
They need to be... They're definitely on the list, and at the very least, they need to be taken down a few notches. You know what I'm saying? They need to be humbled.
Ridiculed, yeah.
And we should do that via children's media and video games. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm. We should put that in their brains early.
Well, yeah, and then you wonder, if we were putting it in their brains early, fat lot of good that did.
Yeah, I don't know. I would like to talk a little bit about my name when I logged into this game today. Sorry to change the subject, but...
Well, and last week I told you should interrupt me more, and here you are doing it, so nice work.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, I haven't logged into this game since I made a video on it, like, it has to be 2 years ago at least now, because I had my long hair.
I don't even remember a Toontown video.
It's ancient. Don't look it up.
I'm doing it right now.
Anyway, my name was Mem, just M-E-M. That I typed in when I made my character, and then I logged in today and it said, you've been renamed because your name was like not appropriate. It was literally just Mem.
That's interesting.
So I'm being discriminated against.
Well, it's probably because you became a successful YouTuber, and that you should be discriminated against at that point. As they said, any name that is the name of a successful YouTuber needs to be removed from the possible name
list. Or they're protecting
my
identity because they're like, this famous YouTuber would not stoop so low as to play Toontown Rewritten.
Right, you must
be... This must be an imposter.
You must be... Exactly, right. That could be what it is.
But no, it in fact is me.
So walk me through how you ended up, because you couldn't pick your normal name. How did you end up on Tan Deer?
That was just what it gave me, I think, because I am a Tan Deer.
Oh, okay, that's interesting, because it gave me... Miss. It gave me the, what do they call it, a
was
prefix?
Was this just the
miss?
First name it gave you and you just went with
No, because I figured it had a list of names you could pick.
Yeah.
And I assumed Austin would be on there, but it automatically filled with Miss, so I said, I'll go with Miss. So my goal was to be Miss Austin, but then I scrolled up and Austin wasn't there, and then I was like, let's go look for a different name. Started scrolling down. The UI for scrolling down was just really annoying and slow, so I just stopped and picked the thing it was, which, I, as you can see, I only made it to B. And so I picked Banjo.
I like that.
Shout out Banjo Kazooie. Yeah, Miss Banjo. It's
a nice
name.
Was there any thought behind you being a duck?
My goal was to try and make myself look as much like me as possible, as always.
Right, yeah. This is exactly so what I you picked, look like. Except that I'm towering over you.
Yeah, which is confusing because I scrolled through all the characters and I thought I picked the tallest one, but clearly I didn't.
You can adjust your height.
Like separately?
Yeah.
All right, I didn't know that. Well... Now I'm shorter than you, so that's okay, though. You know,
I'm kind of a beast.
You could truck me. Like, you could truck me like a... Or you could run me over like a truck.
And I will. I do like the concept in this game of getting to make your own custom, like, Disney-style character. I think that's kind of cute.
When you did it, like, if we had teleported this to... Disney version, is it these exact characters, or would I look like more like Donald Duck and you would look like Goofy?
This is the exact game. They didn't change anything about the game.
Wait, really?
Whoever's hosting this just has the game files. This is exactly what it was.
Where's all the Disney characters?
it's us. We're like our own Disney characters.
No, but I figured they would, if it was actually Disney, there'd be like Goofy would be here and Mickey Mouse and stuff. Are they not?
I was just in like Goofy's Raceway. So some of the places have
their
names.
Okay, so some of it is branded.
I don't think I've ever seen like the Disney characters walking around though.
So maybe it just never was that. It was like this weird kind of offshoot. That's pretty cool.
It's like we're in the Disney world, but we're not necessarily interacting.
We're like
with
the NPCs
the
of like the people who'd be in the background.
Exactly,
of,
we are. That's
Steamboat
what we are.
Willie.
We're Disney
That's
NPCs.
That's so fun.
We're
Did
Disney
you ever play that game,
crowd.
Epic Mickey? Do you know about Epic Mickey?
I know about it. I have not played it.
It's so cool. Such a cool game.
I think
so much vibes. It was like Toontown, but more polished and like the vibes were like Toontown-ish, but cooler.
Isn't that
so
one?
I guess
don't
you
have
Toontown,
a paintbrush in that one?
Yeah, you do, and you actually are trying to return color sort of to the world, but it's a similar type of thing. Yeah. You have a magic paintbrush that can either
I never thought about
destroy.
That trope before, but that's so true. There were so many things like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you could argue that like Splatoon is kind of in that vein, but that wasn't so much like coloring things that are uncolored as it was just adding paint onto things and making a big mess.
Yeah, and it was also the theme of like the color represents, I think, like childhood innocence or like having
And that's all it is it's just it's people who like you get old and it's literally probably just all people who work in an office and think about how much they miss being a kid.
Yeah.
You know, the office is horrible. Everything about the office is horrible. It's the most evil thing I've ever done because they personally hate the job that they have.
Yeah.
Because it probably was so, I mean, think of like The Matrix, Fight Club, like all, it was definitely this like anti-office work theme.
Exactly.
In the 90s and early 2000s. So, you know, whatever. But,
yeah, somebody was thinking about their boss when they were modeling the evil cog guys in this game.
100%. And they then
probably
that's probably why they shut
the
it
Disney
down.
Disney execs.
It's Walt himself or whoever was in charge of Disney back then. Did you see that comment on the last episode that was like, we should do Flight Simulator and I tried to teach you how to land a plane?
I did. I think I would fail.
I think we should do that. I think we should do it, but in person and with a real plane. How do you think about that? I'll train you in the sim and then I'll bring you up.
You really
and we'll do it in the real plane.
Putting the pressure on me live on the pod.
It could happen. Just here.
I don't know what happened. Like, as I told you at the time, a couple years ago, I was really into the idea of trying to fly a plane just one time, not like as a thing that I do. But
just going up and
the
putting
school
your hands
I was
on
at
it.
Had like a special deal where you could like pay to just literally fly a plane one time for fun. And I really wanted to do it. And then, I don't know, all this stuff happened in my life and I think my mental health got worse. And now I'm like not really thinking about it anymore.
Are you like afraid of it now? Has something changed? Like, did you see how low the bar is for pilots when you...
I don't know. It was kind of a time in my life of maybe manic confidence where I was like,
wow,
I could
love
do
that. For you. Well, whenever that comes back, we'll do it then.
I've been beaten back down by life, and I'm not sure if I care anymore.
Oh. If you ever do, but I think it could be a funny idea. So I get
catch
the sense
me on a better day.
I shouldn't have brought it up. Yeah, I'll catch you on a better day. But it's just a thought. It's just a thought.
I've been pondering some video game related questions.
Amazing. I've been thinking about video games a lot as well.
It's kind of your whole job.
It is my whole job. What a blessing. What a beautiful, wonderful world of color and joy I live in.
For real. That's ridiculous. Okay, because we've been playing all these games, all these different random games, and some of them have, like, day-night cycles, weather cycles, because I edit the pod, and I was editing, like, the... What was the last one we just did? We just did Roblox, and the game we were in had a day-night cycle, and, The Long Drive also did. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about the fact that they all generally, and I would be interested to measure this, which is something you would do, is the length of the day-night cycles in games. Because they're all like pretty similar to each other, which makes me think that somebody has figured out that's the ideal, but like, why and like, what do you think, in your personal opinion, is the ideal length of the day-night cycle?
Well, I've obviously, as you can imagine, I've thought about this a great amount. One of the things that really fascinates me with regards to a day-night cycle is I've always wondered, and I'm sure someone's already done this math and I could just Google it, but I've always wondered if you took the scale of a game like Grand Theft Auto 5 and you took the time scale and sort of like if however long it takes to walk from one end of the map to the other, like is the physical scale meant to be sort of in locked in tandem with the time scale? So which is to
right,
say
yeah.
If in real life it takes you a day to drive from Southern California to or like from LA to wherever, and it takes a day in Grand Theft Auto time, is it sort of like meant to be seen as like if the day is 10 times faster in Grand Theft Auto, is the size meant to be thought of as 10 times bigger because it has the same effect?
Yeah, that's a good
like
point.
Sure, it feels like it took 8 hours to get here, even though in the game it's only, you know what I'm saying? Like
yeah.
How that all matches up. I've always thought that was interesting. In terms of ideal, I think, honestly, obviously it depends on the game. If it's a longer game, I like a longer day-night cycle. I don't like it to be... I like there to be ample opportunity for scenes to occur at unexpected times of day. I don't like when a game, like, when they have the really epic moment, they force it to be at sunset or they force it to be in, like, the right... Like, I think it's cool when they just let the time be what the time is.
Yeah.
And so if you have a longer time cycle, there's a bigger chance that you'll end up like doing a scene that's really important and epic, but it's just like a cloudy day in the middle of like at noon, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of a fun thing that can happen. So but I also do like really fast ones, like Ocarina of Time has a really fast, it's like 2 minutes or 3 minutes or something crazy.
Yeah,
and I think that's pretty fun.
I think about this when I play Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, which I still haven't finished Tears of the Kingdom. It's crazy. I need to just lock in.
Yeah. The story's so bad.
Okay, we don't have to get into that.
Do you seriously you disagree with me? I'm not going to get into it. I just want to know, do you disagree with me?
I don't think it's bad.
All right. Okay.
Well, now I want to know what you don't like about it.
I think the voice acting is genuinely embarrassing. And I think the writing is just like pretty mediocre. It's just like whatever. And you put those two things together and I almost can't sit. I had to change the language to Spanish, just to make it so I could sit through those cutscenes. I thought it was just so, it was so difficult. It like, the thing that stresses me out about it that I don't like is that if you removed all of that, those games, Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, are such like wonderful, quiet, elegant, beautiful experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really pretty like sophisticated and like it's like a Studio Ghibli film. And then you put on this like your slightly below average anime story and it just like totally clashes with what I feel like the philosophy of the game itself actually is. That's what annoys me about it. I've played plenty of games with like stories that are the equivalent of that and it works a little bit better because the whole game is like that. But what bugs me is that the gameplay of those games is so amazing and like,
yeah,
so elegant.
I can understand
that. The story
that. It
is
definitely
just
feels
so straight up and whatever.
Yeah. I personally have the voice acting on Japanese because I try to do that to practice whenever
that might
I
help.
Can. And I might like the voice acting a little better in Japanese.
I can see that.
And I see what you're saying about it. It's a little bit jarring sometimes because most of the game is quiet and most of the dialogue when you're doing quests and stuff, you're just reading. Then when you go into a cutscene and there's like and you've been having this like peaceful, beautiful journey and then there's some guy
yes.
going, "Let's go, Link!" It's a little
bit... exactly. Okay, I'm glad you see... Even if you like it doesn't hurt you
I
as much,
it,
I'm
I
glad
see
you
it.
See what I'm saying.
But I guess I just... I guess the cutscene part is what reminds me, okay, this is a Zelda game, because then it feels more like I'm throwing it back to other Zelda games, and like I think that the writing and the
Zelda
dialogue
game
and stuff
is like
pretty...
that.
I don't
they
know.
Just, if they didn't...
All of them...
No. Well, hold on. Well, all of them, a lot of the 3D Zeldas, maybe. But you know, you think A Link to the Past, you think The Legend of Zelda, you know, totally different than all of that business.
Well, those but maybe, honestly, now that we're talking...
Well, that's what I mean, is none of them did till Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, I guess I'm talking about other 3D Zeldas. Like, there is kind of a... I don't know what to call it. Like, an energetic, buoyant kind of attitude to a lot of the, like, cartoony...
Yeah.
Acting and
honestly,
cutscenes and
it
stuff.
Could be as simple as the English voice acting is too much for me.
Yeah.
That could.
Perhaps.
But I don't know. Something about the story in this one feels a little more. I'd have to replay it. I don't want to dig myself too deep of a hole. I'm going to just stick with the voice acting is really bad and I can't stand it.
Yeah.
And then maybe I'll swing back around to it later. And there's just too much of it. Like, it doesn't actually add anything. And if you just took it all out, you would have just a. Like, it wouldn't make a difference. Like, the story isn't the thing that's driving your attachment to the game, I don't think. For me, anyway.
Right,
so
yeah.
It's kind of just like, why even have it? And it's just, like, at best, it's just a total time filler and a waste of time. In my opinion, I have friends that said they cried at the story of Tears of the Kingdom. Totally fine. But it wasn't for me. It wasn't for me.
All right.
Anyway, day-night cycles. Back to it.
Oh my gosh, I just went on such a tangent then. But my point was, I like the day-night cycle in Tears of the Kingdom because the night is shorter than the day, I think. And I get annoyed when it's night for too long. I would rather explore in the day. I like half the time make a fire and skip the night because it's annoying to me. I want to be able to see... Mm-hmm. And I get annoyed by the freaking skeletons that come up at night.
Is it really? It's short. How much shorter do you figure it is? You think I would know this?
I don't know. I haven't measured it, but it's definitely like, I compare it to Genshin Impact, the other game that I play a lot. That one is like half and half nighttime, and then the night is too long, and I skip it a lot in that game too, because
half and half is too much.
Half and half is too much. But I just know in...
Even real life isn't half and half.
Right, exactly, at least. I mean, it is for, that's like what an equinox is, I think, right?
Well, yeah, and also for certain places where people live certain places, but, you know.
But yeah, I like when the night is shorter. I think, I also get annoyed when it's too fast, though. I think Breath of the Wild still might be a little bit too fast, because then I'm having to skip the night too much.
I think that's reasonable. I mean, because really, what the night gives you... is the sunset and the sunrise. Like, that's the real benefit of having the night, is you get these moments of like, dawn and dusk that are so beautiful and can really elevate a thing that's happening
while you're
playing.
Yeah, and it makes it feel like time is passing.
Yep. Yeah, I think a day-night cycle in a game is, like, just... I wonder what the first game with a day-night cycle was. I mean, Ocarina of Time is, what, 98... But this is not a conversation for the podcast. This is a conversation for me to have with the internet later. But I would be curious.
Yeah, you figure that out. Do some research.
I will. I'm gonna figure that out.
I'm
gonna write that. That's an idea for a YouTube short.
But yeah, I just think it's interesting that so many games have such similar lengths of cycles. Because I think both that Roblox game and The Long Drive, it was like maybe 2.5 days that passed during the episode.
Huh.
So, it's just kind of... But then GTA is not, like, super long? I feel like every time I've played GTA, changing very often.
I don't know for sure. I've been playing a ton of Red Dead, because I'm about to put up a Red Dead video, mm-hmm. and that one is, I think, 20 minutes, and it's equal. Like, it's... So the nights are really long, which is super annoying for filming, because people turn videos off if the footage is too dark.
Yeah.
And also you just can't see stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I always have to like wait 20 minutes because there's like no way to skip the time ahead online.
Shall we switch locations?
I would love to. Let's go somewhere else. I'm going to try to walk the whole way in this 3/4 camera view.
Welcome to my house, everybody.
We did it. It's really beautiful. I'm a big fan of your flowers.
I like my flowers too. I wanted to show you kind of the full immersive experience where you see the existential void that actually surrounds my home, because I'm in a neighborhood. The game wants me to believe I'm in a neighborhood because you see other houses around you before you walk in yours. And speaking of that, I'm not sure if those are actually other player houses. When I was a kid, I always assumed that they were actually other player houses. I guess they might be.
Yeah. Yours had a name on it. I don't think the other ones had names on them.
But it could just be
There briefly and looked. There also could be fewer people playing now than there were 15 years ago. I'm not sure about that, but it's totally possible.
That is a possibility. Anyway,
it's a strong possibility.
Right before we started recording, I swear to God, I glitched out of this house. This is like one of the things I would do in this game. Is come
just
in
a
my
little
house.
Inside baseball for the listeners. I did just have to sit here and watch her try to do it again for about 15 minutes.
It was not 15 minutes.
It was at least 15 minutes, if not 20 or 30 or 40. It was a long time.
I don't have 15 minutes of patience to try stuff like that over and over.
Well,
but
it didn't work is the point.
It didn't work. You go into like move furniture mode and you move furniture over where your character was standing and you'll glitch out of the wall sometimes. I did it right before we started recording and I did it in about 30 seconds from pure muscle memory from when I was like 8 years old. And now live on the pod in front of somebody with a camera on me, I'm having performance issues and I couldn't figure it out. So
that's totally reasonable. That does happen.
But what's interesting is, like I said, you're in a neighborhood. The game wants you to think you're in a neighborhood. But when you come in your house and you glitch out the wall, you're just in a green void. It's like this. It's the same color as the green grass in my fake window, outside my fake window.
Did you say glitch? Oh, fuck. It wasn't the right one.
Is it like skipping?
No, I was trying to skip around because I forgot that the theme for this, one of the themes doesn't start with the theme. You know, it like has an intro and it's like,
yeah.
And I wanted it to immediately hit into the theme and I forgot I would have had to go back to the older seasons to do that. But,
gotcha.
You know, hey, it is what it is.
I think we all understand the bit you were trying to do. And I appreciate it.
Thank you. I did go back and, you have something you want more to say you want about glitch? I know that sentence was a real mess.
That's fine. I get it. I just want to say I'm always fascinated when I watch those Eggbusters videos, how much patience you had to keep doing that shit. I can't, like I just said, I can't try that for more than 10 minutes without getting mad and doing something else.
And here's what's interesting.
The fact that you would be like, I tried this for 3 hours. I would be like, what?
Yeah. And here's what's really funny is... there was a period of time after I stopped making Eggbusters, people would be like, you should make it. And I was like, it takes too much time. It takes like 3 hours, 5 hours. Plus, I got to play the game for like 5 hours. And in my head, it's still the case that Eggbusters takes too much time. But the videos
but
I'm making right
now.
What
you do now, surely also
it's like
takes a lot of time.
50 to 100 hours of work sometimes. And it's like Eggbusters now seems like such no work. To sit there and do a glitch for 3 hours is like whatever. But I suppose it's the repetition that most people would struggle with. Whereas for me, it doesn't bug me that much. I'm sure there were also times when I lied about how long it took, but I think I was pretty good. The thing I would do sometimes is like, I would do it for like an hour one day and an hour the next day and an hour the next day. And then I would say, oh, it took me 3 days. But it was really only 3 hours spread over 3 days.
Right.
There were a couple that genuinely took a really long time. But, man, it felt good when they would finally work, you know? But it's one of those interesting things because you don't know when you're trying to do a glitch that you don't have confirmation is real, right? You don't know if it's real. And so you don't even know
if anything is going to happen.
Yeah. You don't know when to give up. And that's a really interesting place to be. It's like it's an exercise in faith, if you think about it. And it's not faith in God. It's faith in some comment on the internet, which may or may not be God, I guess. You never know.
Yeah, I think you just really figured out some kind of, it sounds like meditation, what you were doing.
I guess so. And in that sense, there's a commonality in some of what I do now, I suppose. I don't know. I bet there's a very high chance that I will make at least one more season of Eggbusters at some point. But probably once I like make enough money to not have to worry about making YouTube videos anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm just like, you know how when YouTubers fall off and they stop, they make one video a year or one video every 3 years. Once I reach that point, I'll just start making a bunch of videos, but they just won't be things people want to watch. It'll just be like Eggbusters. And that'll be my retirement.
That sounds wonderful.
It does sound so wonderful.
But yeah, I guess I'm just saying I love that about your mind, that you can just do that. Because I get frustrated.
Yeah. I mean, I do too, but I don't know.
I get a little bit frustrated, but I'm also like, I could just be doing something else, anything else.
Yes. And that's really what eats away at you, is you like eventually 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours of trying the same thing. You're like, you realize that like, this is, your life is ticking by, right? Like your actual life.
Exactly.
You don't get these seconds back. And you're like, is this really worth it?
It made really good content, though. I love the glitches. I love looking at them. You know, I love when other people will do them for me and show me them.
Yeah, it made good content. It'd be fun to do it now and see if I could make it better. But then I might ruin it, you know? That's the problem.
I think you can do whatever you want.
Speaking of content, I felt so bad about making fun of or saying I didn't like Eddie Burback's videos that I went and checked in on those videos again. Because I was like, oh, they suck. I think I just had recency bias because I watched like a couple of them again. Not all the way through, but like bits. And I was like, these are actually pretty good. Like, I still maintain that they don't come to any interesting conclusions. But they are genuinely like really fun and funny.
Well, there's
and well made.
There's quite a huge chunk of YouTube that doesn't come to interesting conclusions. It's just about being silly and fun.
Correct. But I guess there's so many possible, and I'm not even saying like I need a YouTube video to have some great point that da 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 da. I just mean like when I'm watching you do this, when I'm watching you go to Olive Garden in Italy, I'm having more interesting thoughts about that experience than you're actually even telling me right now. And so then I feel like you're falling behind me and I'm not even the guy in the video. So I'm like, well, what are we doing here?
Your problem is you're just so much smarter than everybody making videos. And they should all,
you know what?
learn something from you.
I didn't say it. But it might be true. Name one other person who's on my level, aside from Mr. Beast. And,
it all comes back to Mr. Beast. What the hell is his name?
Back to Jimmy.
Tim?
Jimmy something.
Jimmy.
We call him Jim. We call him Jim. Jim the YouTube guy.
Yeah. His face looks like a weird plastic clown doll you'd find in somebody's basement.
People make fun of him for his face. And I am not here to be a Jim apologist. But I think it's so great that you can have this sounds so bad. But you can have someone that looks like that. And acts like that, but as long as they make content that people want to watch, people don't actually care. Because he shouldn't be, like, he doesn't have, this sounds so mean. I don't know, he's successful.
I'll cut it out if it's too mean.
He doesn't have any innate charisma, right? We can all agree that Mr. Beast does not have innate charisma. He has none.
Every time I've watched a clip of it, I'm like, this is not even, like, an interesting or funny person. He's just kind of saying stuff.
Yeah. And all of his friends are the same way. They're not, none of them have a ton of, like, again, I say innate charisma because there's some, like, once you become so successful, there's like a certain adopted charisma that you get, but he doesn't have any natural charisma.
Yeah.
And I think it's so interesting.
I don't think that's mean
like
to say.
Got so popular.
He's built his entire career on like manipulating people's attention as much as possible, earning as much money as possible, exploiting people quite literally in his videos. I think we're allowed to make fun of his personality, which is non-existent.
I'm going to ask you one of those questions.
And he started he was trying to be a gamer. Have you scrolled to like his first videos? He was trying to be like a gamer YouTuber.
Yes, he has videos of just him like playing Pokemon or Call of Duty, which I think is so good. Mm-hmm. I like that he didn't take him down. I think that's funny.
Right?
But the...
Because Mr. Beast even sounds like a gamer tag. Like,
do you ever intend to exploit people when you make YouTube videos?
Yeah, well, I'm exploiting your success and fame in this podcast to gain my own
following. So, but you should really mostly exploit people who have more money than you, probably, right?
How would I do that? I was thinking more of like exploiting children and underprivileged people.
Well, that's what I'm saying is we should exploit a little bit. Like everyone can exploit a little bit as a treat, right?
As a treat.
Just a little. Like I want to see, like, you know, who doesn't love to watch Ninja Warrior, right? Everybody loves Ninja Warrior.
Yeah, those people choose to do that.
Oh, hold on. Wait. Well, I guess it depends what you mean by it. Mr. Beast is exploiting people. Are you talking about the people on the show or like the people who work for him?
Probably everybody and the audience.
Okay, but the people who are on the show choose to be on the show. I mean, it's no different than a game. He's just making Ninja Warrior, basically, right? He's making Survivor. He's just making bad reality TV.
Sure, but
YouTube.
I think they're not always aware of the full extent of what's going to happen to them.
And the people on TV are? No way. This is the thing that is weird about Mr. Beast is people act like he's doing something different or like unique or revolutionary, but he's literally just making like bad reality TV, which we've been doing for like 20 years. It's not any different than that.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's not any more or less. And all of that's way too exploitative, obviously.
I'm just saying
just in a long lineage.
People
give him too much credit is what I'm saying.
Sure, of course. But like the really long running reality shows like so Ninja Warrior is that's like the athletic one. I wouldn't say that's really
Ninja Warrior. Yeah, but it's like this single mother is competing for money to save her child or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I mean that's always weird. They have to make up like a not everybody is actually in as dire a situation as they make it seem, but everybody needs a sob story. They have to have a sob story for every single person. So I've heard of people after they've been on shows like that being like, my life actually wasn't that hard, but they made me come up with something for the show.
Did I tell you about the celebrity intervention thing?
Just before I forget, my point about Mr. All Beast right. is that like, from what I've seen, and I haven't, like watched a ton of his videos because I don't care and that's not my type
They're
of content.
Mostly pretty bad.
But I know there was a lot of stuff coming out about his like actual TV show that he was gonna have that maybe never came out. I don't even know. I'm just talking out of my ass, but that's
what
a podcast
came out.
Is
it was
for.
I heard people talking about it the other day.
But I think a lot of people were like legitimately getting really hurt. Whereas like these like longer running shows like Wipeout or something.
That's a good point.
If you're going on the show, you've seen the show a bunch of times, and they also, it's been running long enough that it hasn't been shut down, so they've figured out ways to make it safe enough. And yes, there have been like reality shows where people actually got seriously hurt or it was just a horrible idea, and they end after one season because they get like slammed with lawsuits. So anyway, I wouldn't exactly compare Mr. Beast to like established shows that have existed for a long time. Because he's doing like
one season. What if I exploit people for one season and then I cancel my show? That's what I'm going to do. Thank you for the idea. That's my new plan.
Like you start with that intention.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to bring back, you remember that show MXC?
No, what is that?
All right, never mind. Forget it. It was kind of like Ninja Warrior, but it was Japanese and it was way weirder. But it doesn't matter. It was a great show, and I'm gonna revive it.
When I was
a kid, the point is, go ahead.
I, for my whole childhood, was so positive that I would go on American Idol like as soon as I could because I like watched it obsessively growing up. I just thought of that because they also all have sob stories on American Idol. I wonder what mine would be. This is a good question.
It would be the story of you. You would tell the karaoke story, but you would switch it and say that you lost to an adult. You know, the karaoke story on the boat. And that will be the story that gets you on American Idol. And you've always wanted to just come back from that. And then it turns out that adult was Simon Cowell. And now you're singing
Whoa.
In front of them.
Can Simon even freaking sing? I think he just criticizes
Probably.
People.
No way.
I
with
don't
that,
think he sings.
With that stature, I don't think that guy's vocal cords.
You know
chords.
What I just figured out?
What?
Simon Cowell looks like Mr. Beast now with the plastic surgery.
He actually really does. That's a great... His eyes. He has the same like weird dead eyes.
Yes.
That's interesting.
That's
I never
thing about
Mr.
Beast. I do want to say I don't necessarily love making fun of people for their appearance. The thing that's weird about Mr. Beast is this, the smile that he's doing that's like not a full human smile, and it doesn't reach his eyes.
I like it.
It's a thumbnail smile. It's like, I wonder what he looks like if he's experiencing real joy, if he ever has.
Do you remember Intervention, that show? But it was like Dr. Drew's Celebrity Intervention, where they had celebrities come on with drug problems, and then he like has an intervention and saves them?
No.
Oh, well, it was that show. Do you remember Dr. Drew? Are you familiar with Dr. Drew?
Dr. Drew.
No. All right. Well, no. He was like a celebrity doctor. You could think of him kind of in the vein of like a Dr. Phil, but more like medically oriented rather than psychology, I think. I'm not 100% sure on that. But he had this show where it was like an MTV show, very popular, where he would have these celebrities come on who had like fallen off and were struggling with addiction. And then he would help them, counsel them. And what I learned is that for that show, they would just go to washed up celebrities, offer them a large sum of money and tell them and give them an option of like, here's different addictions we can say that you have. Pick one.
Oh my God.
That you don't even actually have. And then we'll just pretend. And these celebrities, and I don't know if this is true of all of them, but this is something that they did. I think it was the guy who played Urkel came out and said that they offered him like $500,000 or something crazy to pretend he was addicted to drugs and to go on the show and get quote unquote fixed.
That's so horrible, like, for their reputation though.
It's so horrible, but it's all these people who like whose careers have totally fallen off. And so it's these desperate people looking for like a rebound kind of in a way. But I don't know, I guess I was not cynical enough about reality TV, because I would have assumed that like so much of it was faked and staged, but like the fundamental premise is like always technically true.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that they would just totally fabricate the everything about it, but I guess it makes sense. You know, they'll do whatever they can to get a load of views. And I just thought that was crazy. So I wanted to share it with you today.
Yeah. That is crazy. That's definitely something I learned as I grew up, like exactly how fake they were. Because I, like as a kid watching American Idol, I 100% believed everything. I was like, wow, all these people's lives are so tragic. And then when I was like a teenager, I would see like interviews with these people after, and they'd be like, yeah, my mom didn't have cancer or whatever. Like,
that's just so crazy. I don't know. Who would do that? Like, I don't know. It's just so weird to me that you would just like so totally fabricate everything.
Yeah.
I guess it's not weird to me. I'm just, it feels like you would be able to get the same result without needing to do that.
I like that these little ZZZs come up over our heads when we don't move in long enough, and it just makes it look like we're having the worst time talking to each other. We're both falling asleep, yeah, this whole conversation.
Especially when one of us is talking and the other character falls asleep.
Exactly. And you're like, oof.
So embarrassing. So anyway, TLDR, Eddie Burback's videos, largely I had recency bias because I didn't like his most recent one. Mm-hmm. But it's mostly they're pretty good.
We're backpedaling.
We're backpedaling. I still take issue with YouTubers who I feel are in a constant state of doing a bit and never show me their true selves. But that's just a personal preference. So
I'm curious to see what are you seeing on YouTube? You sound like,
yeah,
you see,
you've
mentioned before, people that are always doing a bit, people that wear costumes in every video. And I'm like, what world are you living in where you're like, I don't know what you're seeing.
It's all bad. It's like, it's all that stuff. Or it's like videos about how like shipping lanes work and how grocery stores get stocked. And those are the only things I see, is like people doing the, yeah, worst bits ever. Or logistical information videos.
I think you're stuck in a weird
crazy
alternate dimension. You got to get your algorithm fixed.
I do. Yeah. Well, I'll see if I can week. I'll pay attention.
It sounds like all you're getting recommended is like weird clowns.
It's true. I mean, everyone I watch on YouTube, I feel like people are constantly wearing costumes and doing bits, and that is clown behavior.
That's so funny, because I do not know what the fuck you're talking about.
I don't like it.
I love that.
They need to fix the algorithm, because I don't want to see this stuff and I keep seeing it somehow.
You're stuck in the clown dimension.
Have you ever seen that guy, Dr. Mike?
No.
That's my dude. Man, me and you don't have much overlap in what Dr. Drew, Dr. Mike. I'm watching all these doctors.
Yeah, never heard of any. Oh, no, I know Dr. Mike.
Dr. Mike is so, that's my dude. I love Dr. Mike so much.
Are you attracted to him?
Yeah, I would say it's an interesting thing because I see him as attractive. I find him attractive. Am I attracted to him in the sense of if I saw him and he was like, give me a kiss, give us a kiss, if he said that, would I want to do it? Would I do it? Yeah, because it's Dr. Mike, but would I want to do it? I don't know. I'm not totally sure. It's hard for me sometimes to figure out that line between like, I understand that you are attractive and I am attracted to you. You know what I mean?
I hear you. I think I had a period of time where I watched him. I haven't watched a video of his in a very long time.
Well, I think what it is I really like House MD. So anyone who does videos that are related to House MD, I'm a fan.
Does he do videos about House or just because he's a doctor?
Well,
because
he's a real doctor. So he does, I react to House MD videos.
Oh.
And so he watches them and he goes, this is crazy. You would never do this.
Like, does he talk about the accuracy of them or something?
Exactly. Yeah. That's his whole shtick.
Gotcha.
And I'm a fan of that.
Yeah. This is the type of channel that I go through a lot of phases on YouTube where I'll watch somebody like a lot and then I'll be like, okay, I get it. And then I move on. Like, I think Dr. Mike was one
completely.
Of those where I like watched a bunch of his videos and then I was like, I got it. I understand.
No, I 100% agree.
And then I watched something else.
My whole subscriptions.
But like, shout out,
just,
he's extremely consistent. I'm looking at, he posts a video like.
No, he's crazy.
He's
very
like every
inspirational.
Couple days.
He definitely is like one of those people who just has totally figured out the churn. And it's not even like his content is horrible or anything. Like he's a licensed doctor or whatever, but like he's just figured out that like pace of just like bang, 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 bang.
Yeah.
It's absolutely nuts.
Well, and he definitely like sits down to film with a crew that's helping him and they put in front of him things to react to that they've already collected. So all he has to do is like show up and film and then somebody edits it. So that's like,
would you ever do that? Would you ever be like a react tuber and just
react
like, you'd be fun. That's a whole thing. You'd be good at that.
I mean, what do I do if not react to video games I'm playing?
No, but you know what I mean? Lower effort, ma'am. Lower effort.
No, I'm not just going to be reacting to content.
I think most YouTubers end up there because they realize that I was talking to another YouTuber about this who will not be named, but there's this interesting thing that happens and I've started to notice it where like there's this shift and it's actually making me kind of nervous because we jokingly talked one week about like, is there a point at which you should actually like stop? Maybe you shouldn't get any bigger than that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I jokingly said like, I think I'm there. I think I really shouldn't get any bigger.
Yeah.
And that was like a month ago, maybe we talked about that. And I've started to feel, it might be my head, but I've started to feel this shift in like the way that people comment and watch things, that now people are now talking about me as an it rather than a person.
Yes.
And they talk about me like in a very separated way. So like, even if previously people were mean or nice, it would always be like mean to me as a person. And now it's like people are mean to me as an it, which is totally fine. And it doesn't like make me sad, but it's a shift in the vibe.
Yes.
And I think that after a certain point, once you get past a certain size, it kind of stops mattering what you do because you're just going to get all of these comments that are always going to fill the same genres of comments every single time, no matter what you do. And it's just interesting. And that's, I think, why people end up going into like React and doing like other content that's easier because they don't actually even notice a difference in the reception anymore between high effort, low effort, this content, that content, because they're just so big that it fills up their whole intake anyway as a person. Like you can only... You can't even see the whole sentiment of the community once it gets past a certain point because it's too big. And so then you start getting disconnected from like, oh, this was a good piece of content versus this was a bad one. You don't even notice a difference because if people like you, your low effort content, people are going to say, this was so great. And you're going to go, oh, I'll do more of that. And then you're going to naturally flow towards low effort content. I think that's how that happens. And I've just started to notice a little bit of that shift in my like comments and stuff. Yeah. And I was like,
I mean,
this is dangerous.
Yeah, I've already seen the vibe shift in the comments, and I'm not even like close to actually big yet. Well, I'm big
for
me.
You start seeing people talking about you like you're not there, though. Whereas before, they talk about you like you are reading it.
Yeah. Kind of a separate related thought that I've had, though, about why people end up reacting is because I think there's only so much real content you can make, like original content you can make if you've been doing it for long enough. I think that like reacting and gaming are kind of the only categories that you can do indefinitely, because you're like consuming another piece of content, so you always have something new to talk about because it's like a new content that you're interacting with. I think it just gets hard to like think of an original thing to talk about every video if you're not like, I would only have so many things to say from my life experiences outside of video games if I just like
so true.
Made videos about things that I know about or like my experiences. So I think it's logical that people end up just reacting to stuff. I feel grateful that I'm like, that I chose video games and that I'm interested in video games, because I do think it's like a little more effort than just watching a video, because you're also participating in what's happening.
Yeah.
But so I think that's also part of it. It's just that like Dr. Mike at this point has said everything he can say outside of reacting to stuff.
That is, and it's, you know, that's a good thing though, because your two options then are either you stop trying to say new things and you just start doing some other react content or whatever, or you just start making stuff up and keep talking when you don't have anything to say.
Exactly.
And I feel like that's
some
way
people
more
do
dangerous.
That too.
yeah. And that's just a really bad idea. So it's actually like a good sign when your favorite content creators devolve into some low effort content, because that means that they did their job. They've actually completed their task, which is to give you all of their heart. Mm-hmm. And now there's none of their heart left to give.
Exactly.
So they just go on Twitch and they react to memes. And, you know, that is what it is. So
I don't have any beef with react channels necessarily. Get your money, whatever.
I like them. I like the ones like where
like,
the guy.
I don't mind if it's an actual like expert in something that it has like a unique perspective on what's happening.
Yes. Not just some person.
Yeah, not just some guy with a high school education screaming
at
stuff.
Yeah, some guy with a high school education trying to tell you about hydrology and just yapping and yapping for no reason. What the hell do these people know? I like some react channels though, but it's best when it's experts talking about things.
Yeah.
That's just like fun. I think that's a good vibe. All right, top comments. Top comment from Funky Fesh, who says, this podcast is the YouTube equivalent of going to that small diner that the local news hasn't ruined for you yet. And when I read that, I thought to myself, how big do we want this podcast to get, Mem?
Oh, we'll
like,
ruin
we,
it.
At some point, we can do a push and really like grow it. Because I haven't even talked about it on the main channel, not even once. So at some point, we can open Pandora's box. We got past episode 10. So eventually we can do that. And it's like, how big do we want it to get before it gets ruined? And the bigger it gets, the more trouble we're going to get in for making fun of Mr. Beast. And it's just like,
I know he's going to come after us. That's actually terrifying.
Or he'll come on the pod. If it gets big enough, he'll come on the pod.
Yeah. I mean, it's so funny to even talk about it. Like we're going to have beef with people. I don't like, are we ever going to have a guest?
No,
that doesn't seem like something that's going to happen.
There's no chance that I'm going to be able to avoid accidentally starting some beef, and then you're going to have to field it, and you're going to get people being like, it's just going to happen, man. Like 100% is something's going to occur. I'm going to say something I shouldn't have said about some other YouTuber, and then they're going to say that I'm a mean person, and then we'll have to do an
like
apology podcast.
You think I'm going to get involved? I'm not interested in beef.
Well, I guess we'll see.
I'm going to leave you to fend for yourself. Why do you think I'm going to get involved?
That's smart. You should do that. Just putting me on a podcast is just, I feel like, dangerous. It's just a dangerous thing to.
I think you're all talk.
Hopefully. I hope so. I don't know. You never know. No Burback fans came for me last week, so I tried to smooth it over with them this week.
Well, that's the perfect example, because you immediately took it back next episode. You're not going to be in drama with anybody. You're just going to say sorry and move on.
I'll just immediately acquiesce and go, I was totally wrong. Whatever. Just say anything I want.
But yeah, if you do have beef, I will feed you to the wolves. I don't care. I'll just tell you that right now.
As you should. As you should. If you have beef, though, I'll come to your defense.
If I have beef, I'm going to be right, is the thing.
Okay. Can we back up and and sort of unpack what the implication there is?
Nah, I think the pod's almost over.
All right. Well, listen.
I think the pod might be ending right now.